You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Thursday's edition, where we have five cards on Thursday with the turf action coming from Catterick and Leicester, while also racing on the poly track over at Lingfield. I will add that we do have two inspections for Catterick and Leicester set for Thursday morning with the risk of overnight frost. Ireland, of course, has two meetings as well, with day three of Leopardstown's Christmas Festival. And we've also got action over at Limerick. Racing Radio will be live from 11:30 a.m. with Dave Kilner, Craig Forsyth and Will Haler, your studio team. But to look to the best of the action on Thursday is myself, Michael Wood and Andy Gibson. Good to see you, Andy. Did you have a good Christmas?
I've had a really good time. I've been in William Hill Studios yesterday and today, so Boxing Day and the 27th taken care of, and I had a really good Christmas day at home. Thank you. Yeah, what about you?
Yes, it was very good. It goes far too quickly, doesn't it? It absolutely flies by.
Well, yeah, and this year, unusually, you know, you've got Ascot on the Saturday, the 23rd, so close to Christmas, so you haven't even got that sort of 4 or 5 day gap where you normally, if you're involved full time in racing as we are, then normally you've got 3 or 4 days where you have a nice little bit of a break. Not this year. It was Saturday at Kempton, and then it was Saturday at Ascot, and then it was Tuesday and Wednesday at Kempton. So thick and fast, as they say.
Well, like I say, you were in the Racing Radio studio on Boxing Day for a bumper day of racing action, and one of the most notable races of the day was, of course, the King George at Kempton, where Mike Bike put in a very impressive performance indeed. What was your assessment of that race?
Okay, so I think when you have a 50-1 shot and a 33-1 shot coming second and third, I think you need to look at the race very carefully and A, decide, you know, is it a fluke? And B, if it's not a fluke, why is there some improvement in those two horses? Now, I haven't done my time comparisons yet because obviously I've been working in the William Hill studios, but certainly when I get home tomorrow, I'll be looking at this race. I'll be playing it alongside on the second screen with the Cato Star Novices Chase over the same course and distance. And I'll try and sort of gauge some clues from that. My gut feeling from having watched the race twice is that what has happened is that Bristol DeMay and Mike Bite have probably gone off very quickly. That has, in effect, killed Bristol DeMay's chances in trying to keep up with Mike Bite. I think Whisper probably just ran a little bit flat. In fact, Ken Peterson, in his pre-race assessment, said that he thought Whisper might have come up a little bit light after what was the Hennessy, the Ladbroke Trophy. And you'd have to say Thistlecrack did not perform to a level that he's shown in the past. So that, in some ways, possibly led to a situation that by default you had the 50-1 shot and the 33-1 shot coming second and third. And I think because Might Bite was the only horse on the front end of the pace that then lasted home, probably that was why the two horses coming from towards the rear coming through looked like they got closer to him and, you know, were almost a match for him. I suspect on another day, Might Bite would put an awful lot more distance between himself and those two horses.
Looking at the prices in terms of next year's races, we've got Mike Bite at 4-1 to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. He's 5-1 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Do you anticipate a big year for him in 2018?
Well, of those two prices, I cannot see why he would go for the Ryanair Chase. So I suppose if you are going to back him, then of those two prices, 5-1 for the Gold Cup would look more attractive than 4-1 for any race, because he doesn't look a horse to me that's void of stamina. You know, perhaps that price has come in because he appeared to be quite tired in the end, but I suspect he was a little bit tired in the end, A, because the ground was probably softer than ideal for him, and B, because he took Bristol DeMay on from an awful long way out. I think left to his own devices on quicker ground at Cheltenham, as he showed in the RSA chase last year, stamina is not an issue for him. perhaps as he also showed in the RSHAs last year, a lot of daylight to his right-hand side after the last fence might be an issue for him. You remember he came right across and then did extremely well to get back up to Whisper. That would be more a concern for me than would his stamina for the trip, because that isn't a concern at all.
In terms of that race, obviously Nicky Henderson, the winning trainer there, he also had success in the other race at Kempton, which of course was the Christmas hurdle with the very short favourites of Bouvardaire.
Yeah, and I think that the Bouvardaire outcome was never really in doubt either before the race or at any point during the race. And the forecast looked, you know, fairly certain to happen. And I don't know what it paid, but I presume it paid 1.3 or 1.4, which was a fair reflection on the chances of it occurring. I don't think Kempton is Bouvardaire's track. I don't think it is track over 2 miles, at least, anyway. So I think he won despite the circumstances being slightly against him. And in that sense, I think he was even more impressive than he looked. I prefer him back at Cheltenham, and I think he has a real chance of winning the champion hurdle for a second year running. And, of course, he's just got Fulheen standing in the way. Of the two, you'd have to say that given their past histories in terms of physical ailments, you'd have to say that Bouvardaire is by far the more certain of the two to get there in one piece on the day.
Yeah. And in terms of Kempton's card on Boxing Day, there was, of course, the Cato Star Novices Chase, where Black Corton was a 4-1 winner. What was your view of that race, Andy?
Well, I think what's important here is sometimes to remember what we thought before the race when we're assessing our post-race thoughts. And in my opinion, before the race, I thought each of the seven runners had at least two or three negatives attached to their name. So I felt that whatever ended up winning this race, there would be an element of by default to that victory. Now, Black Corton, he's now going to go up to, he's going to be raised to 159, 160. You know, in my opinion, he's nowhere near a 160 horse, but you can't fault the horse because even though he had a couple of negatives yesterday, I thought that the track wouldn't suit him. I think he needs a stiffer test of stamina. I think the soft ground wouldn't be ideal for him yesterday. Even those negatives would be against him. He still just keeps finding a way to win. So you can't knock that. And clearly there is a very special relationship between Bryony Frost and Black Corton, and long may that continue because she's such a joy to listen to in the post-race discussions. I think Elegant Escape wasn't suited to the course. It was too tight for him. I didn't fancy West Pro approach at all. He's jumped badly out to his left a couple of times, and he ran an awful lot better than I thought he would. I didn't like Bally Optic before the race. I think he's an out-and-out steer, and I would see him more as a Welsh Grand National horse next year than a Cheltenham contender. And Mia's Storm, I think the ground went for her, and she's actually run a really good race despite falling. Fountain's Windfall, another one where the ground had gone, but he would have been a player if he hadn't have fallen despite the ground. And Some Invitation had some sort of a chance simply because there were so many negatives in the race. So I don't think the form adds up to that much, and certainly not as much as it will appear on paper. So for me, I'll be looking to be against one or two of those horses next time, and perhaps, like, you know, mark the likes of Elegant Escape up when he goes on a more galloping track. That's how I would look at it at the moment.
Indeed. Well, let's move on to Thursday's racing action. You've picked two races to look at with your nap of the day and your next best bet. The two contests that we're going to be looking at is at Leopardstown. We're going to start with the 120, which, of course, is the Christmas hurdle. So we've got the latest prices in front of us, Andy. We've got Apple's Jade, the favourite at even money, Nichols Canyon at 9-4, Super Sunday at 13-2, Jeski at 8-1, Pop Aim at 25-1, Augusta Kate at 33s, and at Lieutenant Colonel at 50-1. Looking at Apple's Jade, even money, is that the sort of price that you could take on, or do you think it's a worthy favourite?
I think she's an understandable favourite, given that she looks an improved mare this season. If we look back to last season, she got beaten first time out. She took a while to warm up. She got beaten in the Fighting Fifth by a relatively speaking ordinary horse in Irving. And she looked slow in the process. This year, she's looked much sharper. She's obviously come to herself much earlier this year, and she has been absolutely brilliant so far. The big question, of course, is whether or not she'll stay this 3 miles well enough to beat Nichols Canyon. Now, Nichols Canyon, I suspect, needed his first run. So I think it's time to take a chance on Nichols Canyon. 9-4, we've got Nichols Canyon with William Hill. And I think that this is going to take some getting tomorrow. It's going to be testing ground. Willie Mullins has got more than the one runner in the race, so he can play around with the pace of the race. And I think it's going to be very difficult for Apples Jade to fend off Nichols Canyon in the closing stages. Of the rest, I think Augusta Kate is an underrated staying hurdler. And I could see that mare running well and perhaps outrunning her price. She's actually 33-1 with William Hill. So for me, my nap of the day is Nichols Canyon. And I do think Augusta Kate could outrun her price of 33-1.
So Nichols Canyon, your nap for Thursday in the 1:20 at Leopardstown. Let's move on to your next best bet of the day, which comes in the 3 o'clock at Leopardstown, the Christmas Chase, where we have Sizing John, the 11-8 favourite. York Hill is at 11-4. Jack Adam is at 9-1. Outlander, Road to Respect are both at 12s. Valsior Lido is at 14-1. Alpha Des Oboe is at 20s, as is Manila Rocco. Volco Des Floss is at 33-1. As is Zabana, and we have two picks at 40-1 in Carlingford Lau and Ed Wolf. Looking at Sizing John, is that the one for you, or is there someone else in that field that catches your eye?
Well, you know, he's dropped back to 2.5 miles in the John Durkin last time and looked really impressive beating Jack Adam, who I would have to say looked a little bit out of sorts on the day. Generally speaking, Jack Adam is a really consistent performer. So I think there are times when you have to forgive a horse a run. And in Jack Adam's case, we have many pieces of evidence that say he's a very consistent horse and very close to being maybe in the top four or five staying chases in Britain and Ireland. He just didn't run like it last time out. The huge question mark with York Hill is whether a step up to 3 miles is the answer for him. Personally, I would prefer to see him drop back to 2 miles and stepped up to 3 miles. So I would have a huge question mark against him. And that's where I would see the fragility, if you like, in the market. Of the rest of the outsiders, Valsor Lido is very interesting with a year behind. He's had a year off. He's coming back first time. He won first time out last year in very impressive fashion. And he's run well over this course and distance before. I could see him running extremely well tomorrow. And also we've got Carlingford Lock, who is 40-1. Now, these are Carlingford Lock's conditions. Soft ground, the potential for a really fast pace and picking up lots of pieces. Now, at 40-1, I think I would be a very brave man to start tipping him up. But I do think the race could be run to suit him, and we could see him running past a fair few beaten horses along the way and finishing in the first few. In terms of an actual bet, I think when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, Sizing John obviously has the best chance of winning this race, and accordingly he's 11-8 favourite. But I think I would prefer the chances of Jacques Adam finishing ahead of York Hill than I would Sizing John beating the whole of this field. So if William Hill, I'm sure that William Hill will be doing some sort of special bet tomorrow without the favourite. I think I would look to that marketplace, and I'd probably prefer to back Jacques Adam each way in the market without Sizing John, because I think the weakness in the market is York Hill. So I think that's the point of attack for me. We need to get at York Hill. Sizing John is not a weakness as a favorite. He's not a weak favorite. He's an extremely strong favorite. That would be your alternative. For me, I'd rather back Jack Adam at what, maybe 4-1, something like that. I'm guessing each way in the market without Sizing John.
So that's your next best bet of the day on Thursday. Well, Andy, as always, thank you for your thoughts on Thursday's racing action. And remember to join us on Racing Radio from 11:30 a.m.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.